enough so that we can start with our meeting. So 1 minute for anybody to grab anything and start. Good morning, everybody. We have to start with our meeting. Let me welcome the department led by the National Commission, General Fire, our guest, media, but more so the members of the portfolio committee and our support staff. Maybe even before I say something regarding the meeting itself, the National Commissioner, we are only receiving this document this morning. Normally, we were supposed to say thank you for giving us the document. Please leave, come back next week when we have paid. We are not doing it, maybe because of our commitment that we will not be having meetings from next week going forward. Otherwise, we would be doing it right now. National Commissioner, we expect to receive documents for meetings at least 7 days before the meeting, so that the members of the portfolio committee can familiarize themselves with the document but prepare for the meeting. Otherwise, for us to see the document for the first time in the meeting, it really does not assist us that much as we hold the department accountable for what the department appears before us. So I am once requesting it, that principle be adhered to at all times, because it really makes us do our work as well, efficiently and correctly. So we are paid for doing that. If we don't do it efficiently, then it means we also are stealing state money and for doing, for not doing our work. So I'm saying this will be the last meeting where we receive a document in the morning or day before the meeting, and we allow the meeting to go ahead. This really will be the last one. So I'm requesting that at least 7 days before the meeting, which means that if we were going to have the meeting on Tuesday next week, it would make sense for us to receive documents at least by today, so that we can then start preparing for the meeting. As individual members, as political parties, as whatever members of parliament together, because we hold different views on different issues, but we can only do that if indeed we are provided with all the documents necessary for the meeting. Let me again mention that this meeting comes into being as a result of our, in fact, of the committee's engagement with the department in Pretoria early this year. Again, during our budget hearing, we had discussions, some of them, they touched on the issues that are before us today. But more so, this meeting is being informed by the response we received from the department following the questions that were to be responded to in writing by the department. And as the portfolio committee or individual members, after receiving those responses and not being able to make sense some of the issues or the manner in which those responses were crafted, we then decided that there is definitely a need for the department to appear before the portfolio committee. I just want to mention here, I'm not sure for other members, but for me, as we start this meeting, there isn't much that is really making sense. Particularly after being informed that this is the budget for the financial year 2009-2010. And these are the police stations that we wanted to build, 63 million, two of them. But we budgeted something like 409-something million for construction and 200-something for refurbishment. 63 planned for construction. After myself, I sat down to say, maybe let me check, go back to other years, adding money used for contracting police stations dating back from 1997, 98 financial year, 99 financial year, 2009. I'm saying 2007, 2008 financial year, 2008, 2009 financial year, 2009, 2010 financial year. Even when you add that, you still do not come to, it doesn't add to the amount that is allocated for one financial year. But it is said that money is committed. Now, definitely one would want to know so that we know exactly as to how is it committed, and we get answers on those issues. There are many other issues. After the presentation, we'll definitely be asking questions on some of the issues that are in this document, but also I think your presentation will be responding to some, I'm not sure, because I've not been able to read the department's presentation. So I'm still as confused as I was when I presented or we participated in the debate, because I've not been able to read this document. So we'll hear from the department here and now, and probably we want to hope that some of these questions will be clarified. We're not concluding anything as of now, but definitely we will pronounce ourselves after the meeting as to whether we think we are happy with the presentation or we are not happy with the presentation. But thank you very much, National Commissioner, for being here. your presence in our meeting indicates to us that you the department is serious. We take and it takes us seriously as the portfolio committee, and its accountability to the portfolio committee or parliament, it regards it as one of the most serious things to do, and we appreciate that. Let me also mention the fact that we have been made aware as the portfolio committee that you are being invited to many meetings in parliament to come and present your safety plan for 2010 FIFA World Cup. We will not want to represent the department, but we think that maybe it will be important, maybe just for the department to make us aware, so that where we have to respond, we respond. But we really understand the fact that if it must happen the manner in which it is happening, it means you'll have to have people staying in Cape Town for this daily meeting in Parliament with all parties, I mean committees, wanting to meet with the department to hear about its safety plan for 2020. As the portfolio committee, we received the briefing and we're satisfied with the briefing as we indeed stated on the day. And we can say that anyway. We received your apology and we happy that you begged. We thought that you were ill. Welcome back. Over to you, Mr. Kofi.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Good morning to you, committee, my colleague, committee members. Let me apologize up front. I don't think we have had before this question of submission of documents. I don't remember discussing it, except that we have been really complying on it. Madam Chair, it's a really crazy out there with this 2010. It's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy, Madam Chair, I'm telling you. We thank God that it won't come again. This will be once off. And it will be gone and we'll go back to our work. It's crazy. We don't know things that have happened since we briefed you. Things, others emanating from the briefing, having to clarify them. Others have become some kind of dramatic problems and all that. By the way, is the Vice President of America that has confirmed now? The problem that time we didn't know anything, but Vice President of America has now confirmed that the Vice President is coming for the opening. So this document, Madam Chair, because we made it a sort of a new policy in the police, usually documents would have been submitted without the members of the committee that will come here having seen it. So we said it was a bit of a taboo. It must be for the committee before it came here. So because it has been hard to meet, I think it was sent to me last Thursday when I was running around in Durban. And indeed, it took us some time to look at it and partially agree on it. So we're very much sorry that. We hope that the next time when there is no 2010, we'll stick to the comply, sending the documents in time. Let's put our heads on the block. That is the last time that this thing is discussed in our meeting. The second one is the one you raised. It's just the queue of committees that they want these police to come and to them about the readiness. Even tomorrow, I think we're wanted by finance. Portfolio committee. We have been called by tourism. We have called by almost all committees to come and present. It's really we have been appealing to say, but we have a committee, please. We have presented to the committee. I don't know if it can share that committee with those people that what we have presented. It takes a lot of time coming here and not doing those things. There are matters that we have been dealing with on daily basis. Every day you wake up with the matters of 2010 that you're supposed to deal with in terms of security. I'm sure you saw after presentation yesterday in Gauteng, as we leave, this Amswari Mkwatari, somebody came on. The person was arrested in Iraq. Initially was moving from Pakistan, but later was moving from Saudi Arabia. So, and the media comes with it. We check with all our checkpoints that we have established. Nobody knows anything about it. So far, it's an Iraqi story that you must answer on it even before we check on it. So when such things they come, you run like a headless chicken, Madam Chair, because you need to give an answer quick and all that. That story remains. We have checked with all our ICC guys, intelligence coordinating. Nobody has established anything about it up to this point. So these are the things that we run around. So, but after 2010, which we hope and we believe won't come back again, we will really be able to do our work without this pressure. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. I think we saying it will not come in our lifetime, but it will come maybe after some few years, after this one, and the world seeing that Africa and South Africa can hold such an event, they might decide that no, let the 2018, let it come back to South Africa again. Then it will be another.
2018 is already a big war about it, where it's going. Even 2022, there is war about it. So, and it's between Europe, Asia, and America. We're not mentioning on it, even 2022.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Let's have the presentation then. We welcome Ms. Kolabana to receive your apology. And we saw the traffic on the road.
I'll request General Hela, who is the deputy when it comes to these issues, to lead us, Madam Chair, not into temptation, but in understanding what is.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Madam Chair. The property, President will do the presentation on the property, and Colonel Martin Daisel will do it on finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We started off the presentation by just giving some definitions. Can everyone here understand me? Giving some definitions on the difference between capital works and maintenance and repairs. Capital works is basically a spending that is associated with any construction of new assets and all. It's spending associated with the construction of new assets, being buildings or any other infrastructure, and then also it also includes the additions and rehabilitation and upgrading of existing assets, which are of a capital nature. That could include adding new structures, upgrading existing infrastructure, like in terms of electrical and such. Maintenance and repairs is where the asset is just restored to its original condition, where the deterioration that has set in is reversed by means of painting, fixing up floor finishes, and so on. Then there was also a question which we received on the agreement between SAPS and any other departments. The only agreements that exist at this stage with regards to immovable assets are between SAPS and the National Department of Public Works. We have got documentation that we can submit to the committee of the exact details of those, actually the exact agreements. We have got copies here. What basically that involves is the agreement on the devolution of budget and the introduction of accommodation charges,
That was dated 18 December 2005. That basically outlines the conditions under which the resolution takes place and what the future role of both departments will be. The second bullet there is the Memorandum of Understanding, dated 31st of January 2006. That is also just breaking down in a bit more detail in terms of what the various roles are between SAP and the National Department of Public Works. Then there's also a document, the SAP State of Readiness on the Devolution of Custodial Responsibilities from the NDPW to SAP. What it basically, just to summarize, it basically includes, the devolution includes that all new police stations, as well as the police stations that were identified on the devolved list, which we did present to the portfolio committee after our previous meeting, amounts to 272 police stations. So eventually only the functional accommodation will all be transferred. At this stage, it's 272 police stations and any new police stations. All other facilities that are not, as Public Works deems it, functional, they see that as forensic science laboratories, provincial offices, and so on. That will remain with the Department of Public Works as the custodian. Just the principles there of the devolution. As I said, the full portfolio of funds have been shifted since 2006-07 to SAP for allocation. Verification is performed for all leased and state-owned properties currently being occupied from the National Department of Public Works. And as I said, the SAPs will take over responsibilities for functional accommodation. At present, only the 272 devolved properties. Then just further details with regards to agreements of the facilities that fall outside of the devolution, outside of SAP's responsibility. Maintenance and property rates basically amounts to user charges or a rental system that was introduced. Whereby a payment per square meter of facilities utilized by SAP is transferred to National Department of Public Works, and that is utilized for the maintenance of facilities under their custodianship, as well as the property rates and taxes that have to be paid on those properties. So the planned maintenance then is performed by Department of Public Works on all non-devolved accommodation, and SAS is responsible only for the 272 that were allocated under the devolution. Municipal services, the department opted to have National Department of Public Works perform this function, and for that we pay a 5% management fee in addition to the actual expenditure incurred in terms of municipal services. Property leases also remain National Department of Public Works responsibility, mainly due to the fact that they've got a large portfolio to maintain, and if one department vacates, they would like to have the option of reallocating it to another department. This is done on a cost recovery basis in respect of the actual expenditure per month that is paid. Madam Chair, if I can just request if we could stand over with these next two slides up to a bit later in the presentation. I think they will make a bit more sense then. I'm sorry we put them in a bit early. Then if we continue on to property management, presently the number of leased buildings that are occupied by SAP is 1,368. The government-owned buildings that are occupied by SAP is 5,843. And the total number of that 5,843 that are devolved from National Department of Public Works is 272. At the bottom there, we've just put a summary in terms of what was what the annual rate per police station is. It's 101 rand per square meter. That is paid over to Public Works for the maintenance and the property rate. The total amount that's allocated to the rates out of that 101 is 2 rand and 2 cents per square meter. And then the accommodation charge that is retained by SAP for the devolved properties then totals to 98 rand, 98 cents per square meter occupied. That amounts to 48,866,199 and 34 cents per annum for the devolved properties that is available for maintenance work. The next slide is basically just a summary of the process of planned maintenance projects. Firstly, the need is identified, namely that maintenance has to occur on a SAP facility. The property is then classified in terms of is it devolved or is it a new station, or whether it is not devolved and whether it is another facility other than a police station. If it is devolved, the executing department will be Public Works. Otherwise, it will be the executing department will be SAPS. If it is not devolved, it will be Department of Public Works. Department of Public Works basically appoints consultants to do the planning and documentation whereafter a bid is advertised for the work to commence. Within SAPS, we have two different methods of planning. We either also appoint consultants to do planning and advertise the bids externally, or we utilize our own resources in a form of our own architects and engineers to draw up the documentation. And we've also got our own construction units, the building services, that are then able to execute the work. Then we've got unplanned maintenance and the process thereof. Unplanned maintenance is typically something that would break and you would need to fix it immediately. It's not part of long-term planning, for instance, like with planned maintenance like painting and so on. The property are classified once again into devolved and non-devolved, and the same method would be for devolved SAPS, for non-devolved Department of Public Works. The Department of Public Works have got procedures in place whereby they require three quotations. Procurement takes place after financial authorization, the order is placed, and payment is made after the service is delivered. Within SAPS, we've got two methods for our own devolved and new police stations. If the work to be done is below 30,000, three quotations are procured, and financial authority is granted, the order is placed, and payment is made. That comes from the provincial budget on an allocation made to each province for unplanned maintenance below 30,000. Any incidents above 30,000, generally those require a lot more intensive work, mostly of a technical nature as well, where we're looking at electricity and so on. For that, that comes from the national budget, and it's also done in the same manner where three quotations are procured and the service is executed. Looking at the budget versus the expenditure, if I can ask Colonel Dysel just to take over on that one, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The following slide is actually also done according to what the request was in your letter. The budget versus expenditure for 2006-07. From the top, you will see that we did receive capital works in the region of 498 million. Municipal services, 247.8 million. For private leases, 520.3 million. The maintenance and property rates, that is the portion that is paid over to the Department of Public Works as accommodation charges, is 382.1 million. The planned maintenance, that is for bigger works, as Brigadier van Vuuren explained, I highlighted that portion out of the 382 million that we are paying over to the Department of Public Works. Only 93.9 million is going towards planned maintenance for buildings that we do occupy. The total there is 1.6 billion. The portion of day-to-day maintenance below 20,000, it's been shifted now from the 1st of April 2010 to 30,000 per case. That was also explained by Brigadier van Vuuren. The amount that was allocated towards provinces for the for the maintenance of day-to-day below 20,000 for police stations and office blocks and lease buildings, 134 million. Then the next slide is a breakdown of the previous slide. It's only a breakdown of the capital works versus the expenditure. You will see that we've broken it down into the type of infrastructure. The sum of 2006-07 budget that was allocated towards the capital works program, and as well as the sum of total actual spending in the 2006-07 financial year. The accommodation, the first portion, the accommodation, that refers to the houses and flats and so forth. It was 4.5 million that was allocated. The actual spending there was 4.8 million. Then the cell blocks, 17.7 million, and the actual spending on that was 10.1 million. And forensic science laboratories, 23 million that was allocated, and the actual spending there was 52 million. That is the forensic science laboratory in the Western Cape, the para one that is currently under construction. And then I need to take you down a bit further to police stations specifically. Out of the 498 million, 313.7 million was allocated towards the construction and of police stations, as well as bigger major upgradings. Out of that, 234.8 million was actually spent. Then the total that was allocated in that specific year of 67,498 million, and the allocation versus the expenditure, you can see there was 100% expenditure on that. The budget and the expenditure for 2007 and 2008, the capital works allocation is exactly the same as the previous slide. We received 727,019, municipal services 319,594 million, private leases 528 million, maintenance and property rates we received 447.866. Once again, I've highlighted the portion that's going to police's portfolio. It's 163 million. And the total amount of budget that we did receive for the whole portfolio for property management was 2 billion, just over 2 billion. The day-to-day maintenance, once again, this is projects below 20,000 that is also allocated towards the provinces, is 143 million. The next slide, capital works budget versus the expenditure for 7-8, the same outlay as the previous slide, Madam Chair, accommodation, the cell blocks once again, and then I need to take it to police stations. Out of the 727,019 that we did receive for capital works, we've allocated an amount of 420.6 million towards the police stations, construction of new police stations, as well as major upgradings and refurbishment. We've spent it in 7-8 financial year, 437,078. 079 out of the 727. The next slide, Madam Chair, budget expenditure, again, 0809. For capital works, we receive 938.6 million for capital works, municipal services, 377, property leases, 565, maintenance and property rates, 478. And then I highlighted once again the ones that we did receive for plant maintenance, 237. That 237 is actually, it forms part of the maintenance of property rates of the 478. The total amount that was given to us on property management was 2.3 billion. And the day-to-day maintenance, 153,121, that was allocated to the provinces for cases lower than 20,000. Then, once again, I've given a breakdown of the amounts capital works. Unfortunately, I don't have a breakdown on the maintenance and property rates that was given to public works. That portion can only be obtained from them, as they are the custodians. I need to take you once again to the 8-9 financial year, the budget allocation for police stations. Out of the 938.6 million, 680.1 million went for police stations, construction of new police stations and so forth. The amount spent there was 670.8 million on the police stations. You can see that there was a trend in picking up our focus went to the construction of police stations as well as the upgrading of current existing police stations. Once again, the expenditure for that specific year 8-9 as well as 7-8 was 100% of the capital works allocation. Budget and expenditure for 9-10, we received 1.053 billion for capital works, municipal services 367, property leases 629 million, maintenance and property rates 678 million, plant maintenance, I highlighted that went for specific police facilities was 187 million. The total amount that we did receive was 2.7 billion. The day-to-day maintenance is 155 million that was given to the provinces for projects or cases below 20,000 for day-to-day maintenance. Also, just a breakdown of the 9-10 budget allocation for capital works. The police stations out of the 1.053 billion that we did receive, 686 million went for police stations, of which 660 million was actually spent. Just a bit higher up in the table, you will see the forensic science laboratory. We've allocated 184 million, of which 184 million was actually spent on that forensic science laboratory. It's line number 3 from the top, manager. Then the baseline allocations that we did receive for the 10, 11, 11, 12, and 12, 13, Madam Chair, this is just highlighting. It is not included into your slides, unfortunately. We did receive for maintenance and property rates 798 million, 968 million, and 1.1 billion for over the 3 years MTF cycle. Municipal services for 11 million, 585. Are 485 and 557 million. Property leases 870 million, 911 million, and 957 million. The capital works for the 10-11 financial year, we receive a budget allocation for 1.1 billion for this financial year. For next year, 11-12, 1.2 billion, and the 12-13, 1.5 billion. The total capital works allocation that we did receive, or property management allocation that we did receive, is 3.1 billion for 10-11, 3.6 billion for 11-12, and 4.2 billion for 12-13. The day-to-day maintenance increased as well. The cases went up to 30,000. The threshold value was increased from 20,000 to 30,000. The amount allocated for provinces was 156.6 million, 166.3 million for 11-12, and 176.2 million for 12-13. That is the portion for the budget versus expenditure. Up until the 10-11, we've spent 100% since we received the budget allocation from the Department of Public Works. So we are very proud of that. And the biggest bulk we picked up to go towards police stations, manager. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Brigadier Fonsuren will finalize with the property development phases.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Madam Chair. In the next slide, we've also given a breakdown of the process that is followed with capital works projects. A need is identified. Either for a new or a re-established SAP facility or even a major upgrade that is needed to facilities. The property classification once again comes down to the same devolved and non-devolved, devolved going to SAP, non-devolved to DPW. DPW appoint consultants for planning and they advertise bids for execution by private contractor. You will notice that the execution method for capital works as well as planned maintenance basically comes down to the same thing. In terms of SAPS, also once again, we have the choice of either giving work out, advertising, appointing private consultants, to do the planning and advertising the bid externally or executing it all in-house by means of own resources. The next slide indicates just the property development phases that every project has to undergo. First of all, the prioritization is done from the provincial side. A work study is executed, especially for new facilities, whereby they indicate what the staff complement and resources allocated and what the best geographic position would be for any station or facility. A needs assessment is drawn up, keeping in mind the resource allocation guide that is allocated. Thereby, the needs assessment is basically just putting it into figures in terms of how large and what the facility must consist of in terms of room sizes and types of rooms. Then we are looking at, once we know how large the facility is, we can also look at acquiring a site of a suitable size to match the development size. We then have to look at site clearance. That is basically a legal process or an administrative process that clears the site in terms of all legalities, be it rezoning, lifting of servitudes, and looking at the infrastructure that is available. Are we looking at sufficient electricity, sufficient sewage, and so on? Then we, after we have cleared the site in terms of it being ready for development, we go into the planning phase. When that is finalized, it's put out to bid, and construction can commence and completed eventually with a new facility in place. We have a list there of the police stations completed for the various financial years. I think the questions we received were from 2006-07. However, we did provide a breakdown after our previous presentation to the portfolio from 94 onwards. Those are just the new stations that have been completed. 2006-07, Hope Bay, Saron, Malpur, Strand, Kuruman, Ezakeni, Eersteris, Mamelodi East. Mooifontein, it's a Botla. It was in 2007-08. 8-9 was Kuma Stolfontein. 2019, Jane Firth and Matok or Sekosetli. The re-established stations completed 2006-07, Steinkopf, Motherwell, Sulankama. 2007-08, Verkijkerskop, Sterkspray, Deduza. 8-9, Debenek, Seza, Kahisupal, East Saldana. And 2019, Inanda. The following slide outlines the projects that are projected for completion in 2010-11. You will notice previously we only reported also in our annual report on police stations re-established and new, which I think might bring up the issue of looking at the budget allocated and the number of stations. The question might arise as to how it is spent. For these, we've included all the major projects. As you could have seen from the previous slides, a lot of infrastructure development money also goes into other facilities like training colleges, forensic science labs, dog units, and so on which we didn't report on in the past, but we will be reporting on in future. These projects that are listed here are also, as we have set down in the strategic plan as well. So for 2010-11, it amounts to 42, which includes new and re-established. For 11-12, it's 24. 12-13, it's 21. 13-14, it's 31. 14-15, it's 27. 15-16, it's 33. Then if we could, perhaps, Madam Chair, with your indulgence, just return to the previous slide, number 8, I think. Sorry. We've outlined the looking at the process of development. Some of the issues that hamper us quite substantially in terms of the time it takes for a project to be executed is the site clearance phase and the planning approval. And here we have outlined possible areas of ministerial intervention in order to try and speed up the process. We have submitted letters to the our minister to be sent to the other ministers as well. If we look at the list there, the Minister of Local Government, we are proposing a service level agreement that is entered into with SAS to ensure faster turnaround time. Where the Minister of Local Government is involved, it's agreements on acquisition where we acquire municipal land, ensuring that land is reserved for SAS in new township establishment, that priority is given to administer the rezoning and the applications for police stations, and perhaps exempting SAS from submission of building plans for approval. Also, this is also a security risk. We don't want our building plans floating around in municipalities where anyone has access to them. The second area of possible intervention is with the Minister of Environmental Affairs. This can also be quite an extended process. Is where also we want to ensure faster turnaround time where we are looking at approval for environmental impact assessment. Especially where we have rural developments, where services are not in place, we need to provide on-site sewage works and water purification works, and there we need to have environmental approval on those issues. The other area of intervention is the Minister of Land Affairs, that is specifically surrounding approval processes where tribal or rural land is acquired. The Minister of Science and Technology, especially the approval processes where we are looking at existing stations, where we've got heritage status of buildings, or even where there could be other elements on the site which have a heritage status. The process is quite lengthy to get approval on any additions made to sites where we have got heritage issues. The last possible area of intervention is with the Minister of Public Works, because even with the devolution, they will still be responsible for the registration of all land that is acquired by SAPS, even for new police stations. Madam Chair, then we also have a portion in there on SAPS building services. Excuse me. They were, especially also because the question was asked in our previous meeting, they were established in 1933. The purpose was, that's slide number 35. Just wait for it. They were established in 1933, mainly for the purpose of repair and maintenance projects and also to do minor work. Since 1997 to 2003, they were involved in the construction of police stations under the RDP process. The stations they completed during this period were Elliottdale, Ikongalam, Zamba, Delft, Oranjeweg, which is now called Roseville, Frankfort, Namahadi, Tumahole, Inzanoni, Kaloga, Kimba, Islanzeni, and Langa. That is a list of the stations and other facilities that were either constructed, repaired, or renovated by building services since 2004 and 5 up to date. The list of projects currently under construction includes new stations as well as repairs and renovations of existing stations, also being executed by building services. These include Lady Frere, Bishu, Port St. John, Queenstown Dog Unit, National Cell Locks. We retain our cell locks nationally for matters of security, and we provide that on a national basis. Pinar, Hazyview, Hartbeerskop, Messina Illegal Immigrant Facility, Messina Police Station, Lexitele, Giani, Hebron, Hammanskraal, Rustenburg, Izikaweni, Greenwood Park, Salisbury Island, Blue Downs, Khayelitsha, Groesbrug Rivier, Squadron 35, Tabong, Ladybrand, the Durban Hawks, and the DCPI offices. These are just some photographs that we included on police stations that have been completed by building services. The one on the slide there is in Tazuma in KZN. blue down here in the Western Cape. I apologize for the color. I think there's something wrong with this projector at this stage. Izakeli. And that is our presentation, Madam Chair. I thank you.
Thank you very, very much. We're going to take a question from members. And allow the department to respond. But just as a comment, I think surely there will be a need for a follow-up on this issue. But let's take questions. Honorable member. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Honorable.
Me, Chairperson?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks, and then thanks to the National Commissioner team for the presentation. I suppose there'll be a second round of questions, so I'll just ask a few questions now and then come back if there's a second bite. I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. I think firstly, some of the information here is fairly helpful. I'd like to just firstly find out, in terms of maintenance of police stations and building of new police stations, what is the backlog? Because you're not telling us what is the backlog. We're not getting told what's the state of police stations in the country. So I think it would be quite helpful if we could be told this is the actual backlog, this is the situation, this is what we inherited in 1994, this is the condition of police stations, this is the amount of money that's going to be required. I think it would be helpful if we got a sense of that. And then also, what is the plan in terms of, around that? And I raised this in the budget vote debate that without an actual plan, it's difficult for us to actually monitor and have a sense of where we are in terms of our police stations. Also, what I would like to find out is just in terms of the number of leased properties. There's a large number of leased properties, 1,368, and if I understand, those are properties that belong to privately owners who privately owned properties that do not belong to the state. And I'd like to get just to find out, are there plans to reduce that number of properties? Let me give you an example. Honeydew Police Station in the area where I live, it's a leased property. I understand the owner wants to sell. And yet considerable sums of money are spent on an ongoing basis of trying to make upgrades to that police station when the land doesn't belong to us. And at some stage that owner is going to sell, and all the money that we've spent is wasted. So what plans are there to reduce these leased properties? I understand that in some instances we're not going to be able to do away with all of them, but I think there needs to be a plan. In terms of your building of new police stations, you've given us some photographs at the back here. All of them are different design, different style. Your police, this special unit that deals with the construction of new police stations, do we have set designs? Or is it a case of just somebody wakes up and says, well, let's design another type of police station? I'd like to get an understanding whether we've got set designs for building new police stations. And as we upgrade existing police stations, is there a set design that we're using as to how we upgrade our police stations? Because when you go into newly upgraded police stations, all of them are different. All have a different design, different decor, etc. And it's something that I raised, that perhaps we should be starting to look at as we go forward. I understood that station commanders had prerogative over an amount, I think it was 20,000 rand, which they could use to do general maintenance and stuff, urgent maintenance in their police stations. But your presentation here seems to indicate otherwise. It says that there's 30,000 rand, it must go out for quotes, comes from a provincial budget if it's below 30,000 rand. But that, are we being told then that the station commanders do not have access to that to actually carry out urgent repairs? If we could just get clarity on that, on how that actually works. And then, Chair, just my, probably my, yeah. In your, you talk about in the various years, the accommodation, etc., and I'd like to get an understanding as to how do you determine what is the most urgent in terms of upgrade, repair of existing facilities? Is there a, do we have a rating that says, you know, police station X has got some broken windows, while police station Y doesn't have toilets, so police station Y is more important? Do we have a grading system so that we actually can determine which is the most important? I tell you why I'm asking this. Randburg Police Station, again, I'm using as an example, has accommodation for its personnel and others from other stations. But for years and years, that accommodation has been in an absolutely appalling condition. And when I was there a few weeks ago, the station commander actually said to me, anybody who lives there, you need to take their hats off to them because the conditions are shocking. That's been up for a number of years. So how do we determine what's the most urgent and what's not urgent? Thanks, Chairperson. I'll come back in a second bite.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, just to add to the lease issue, we have a similar situation in Kirstenhof where the lease is with a private individual. The premises are way too small. Nobody wants to do anything on it because it's lease premises. The owner is prepared to do things, but he's not prepared to do it unless he gets a longer-term lease, and every time the lease is left to the last minute or it lapses, and then they enter into a two-year lease after that. Now, there's not enough space for the people who occupy that station to actually function properly. And unless we get some resolution, why do you only enter into two-year leases? If you've decided we're going to go with a lease property, then why don't you enter into a longer-term lease so at least the people involved can have some kind of security? Can you just also clarify the draft, this MOU you've given us? It says draft and there's no signatures on it. Is this exactly what was signed? Has it been signed and when? Yeah, you talk about SLAs with the local government, but I mean the fact of the matter is you can only, there are certain procedures that legally you have to go through for land rezonings or whatever, and I don't see how you might be able to limit it slightly with an SLA, but really, I mean, at the end of the day, you do have to allow for appeal processes to go on and so forth. I just want to know, everywhere we go over here, and you all very nicely call it DPW, but most people in the police, as far as I know, call it PWD, which stands for the Police Weight Department. Why does it take so long to get anything done? And it's not all land rezonings and whatever. I mean, everywhere we go, one place we went to, they said the cells that they were supposed to be using now are leaking, and they said they've been leaking for 6 months. Why does it take 6 months? And is the problem with public works, or is it with the station commanders who are not reporting it in time? And to add to Honourable Newman's question, is it 20,000 or is it 30,000? We were told that there's a specific procedure that says 20,000 you can get it very quickly. We were even told that in certain circumstances you only need to get one quotation and you can get approval within days. But then you go to other stations and they say, no, that's not true. So what exactly is the process from step one to when they get the things done that they have to follow from a station level to get something fixed? And it's just on the Forensic Science Laboratory. I'm very glad to see you allocating money to it. Is that with the intention of being able to get it accredited properly? Because some of the things we heard were that the criteria there were not being complied with, like the air conditioning wasn't the right temperature for the samples and so on. Is that being taken into account? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've also got too many questions for just one round, so if there is a possibility of another round, I will ask some of them in that round. First of all, I'm a bit confused. You've got blue downs on as part of your constructions now, but it's been completed. But you've got it on here that it's part of it, under construction, and it's called Mfuleni, it's not called Blue Downs, if I'm not mistaken. If you can just clarify that, that for us as well. I'm interested to know what percentage of the work that SAPS undertake, the building unit undertake, goes to consultants and what percentage are done by SAPS themselves, and what is the difference in cost? First of all, also in terms of the value as well as the actual cost that if we can get a comparison between what you do in-house and what is done outside, and also what is the difference in cost, and maybe even in delivery time in terms of that. What is your average escalation cost if a station doesn't get finished? Because I pick up also that many of your stations are built over the MTF period. They're not built in a financial year, which is, I think, a very bad business practice. Now, it is. In fact, the budget committee last week took Department of Water Affairs to task on this issue, and Treasury has also taken Department of Water Affairs to task on this issue. Why is it not possible to finish a police station within a financial year? Explain that to us. And then I would like to know what the escalation cost is of those stations. Chairperson, the list at the back with the projects completed, the projects to be completed, etc., is nice to have, but it's a bit confusing. In terms of, I would like to know what the difference are, which ones are actually ones that you are renovating, which ones are ERNs, which ones are new police stations, which ones are just refurbishment of stations, and then also, which ones are done by SAPS building, the in-house, and which ones are done by Department of Public Works. The way it's presented here is really a bit confusing, and it doesn't allow us to make our own assumptions from that as well, because I mean, if you just list all of them without saying what it is that they are, I think the cost to each of these is also important for us so that we can have, if we do oversight, that we can see this thing that was planned, that was supposed to be done by Public Works at this cost, was delivered on time, and it was delivered below cost or at the same cost or escalated cost. Or if it was an in-house, it would also assess that in that regard. Forensic science, you see, that is what confused me, because it's on projects to be completed 2010, 2011. I think you've got forensic science laboratory somewhere there. But you said in the beginning of your presentation that that is considered non-functional, and I presume, therefore, that it's a public works project. And that this 184 that was allocated was already spent. So the project is completed.
No.
Is it for next year? But if you look at the... Yeah, I see that's the way it's presented. The 184 says spent. Okay, can we get in what is it spent on? What is the plan with that forensic science laboratories? Because we... worried about what's happening at the forensic science laboratories. We expected to pass a piece of legislation. We would like to know what contingency is there in terms of forensic science laboratories.
Thank you, Chair. Is it me? It's you.
Look, it's common cause that public works doesn't work. So from my opinion, as soon as SAPS takes over full responsibility for all its accommodation, the better. And here we are in 2010, and Public Works isn't doing the maintenance, it's not doing what it's requested to do. We visited SAPS stations, which have had to go to the local community and raise funds to extend their building of the entrance because it couldn't cope with the numbers in the community packing in because Public Works just couldn't get around to doing it, or wouldn't, or was unable to. I'm not sure which of those. Now, can the SAPS not take over the management of their own buildings and just cut Public Works out altogether? I mean, are you honestly satisfied with their work, or are you looking at doing it yourselves in total through private contractors? Faster, more easily, you'll get it done in time, instead of dithering around. I know what they've done in relation to hospitals and other public buildings. It's a disaster. So I would want to know where you're aiming. I'm especially surprised that the forensic laboratories seem to be staying under public works. There have been fires in evidence rooms. There are carpets and dust where they shouldn't be. There are no ceilings in some areas we went through. The buildings are a tip. No scientist can work in those conditions. And I'm telling you now, those results can be challenged in court because of the decay in those buildings because of public works. Now, why are you leaving it to a department that is as proven in relation to our public buildings, the hospitals, the police stations, the municipal buildings, that it just can't do the job? Tell us what you're doing about the laboratories. Now, we're well aware that the SAP supplies the 20,000 rand for the stations to utilize for maintenance. Yes, we go to station after station. Taps are running, flat out. Toilets are running, flat out, for the cost of a washer. I could go around and fix the plumbing in the stations myself, but I don't think it's my job. And I don't think your station managers are trained to be station managers because they don't understand that they can phone a plumber. They seriously do not understand that this 20,000 rand is available. So I don't know what's happening there, but there is a schism between what you are providing and what they're capable of doing. So either they're not being trained or they should be removed from their jobs. I mean, absolutely bizarre. I mean, water is a scarce resource in this country. It doesn't need to be pulled down the drain. I'd like someone to explain to me this 2 million rand increase, year-on-year increase, in the amount set aside for this day-to-day maintenance. Now, that's up to 155 million. I'd like it broken down. This document has a lot of holes in it, to my eye. Now, you've not built sufficient stations during the past year to allow for such an increase. Or are you saying that the 2 million is just for the one or two stations that you've built? Where is this extra 2 million go? Are you buying 2 million rand worth of washers to stop the toilets? I don't understand why that amount, why the increase, and where it should be going, because I've seen no evidence of it going anywhere. And I think the Honourable Schneeman asked the most pertinent question about the plan for the police stations. Now, I think prior to his being on this committee, we've been to news stations where, such as the ignorance of the builders, they put the bolts on the doors on the inside of the cells, giving perfect access to hang yourself in a cell. I mean, it was ludicrous. And now they would have to come in and redo the job because of their ignorance in the actual needs for a police station. Now, what control do you have over the plans? Or is Public Works just deciding they'll hire people to build them and you must walk in the day it's done? What control have you got over what they do? Because currently what they're doing just isn't cutting it. Thank you.
When the ladies are still talking, it's very hard for a man to interfere. First, thank you, Jefferson, and thank you, General, and the colleagues. I just want to know how many satellites do you have and how many are you upgrading that to satellites, police stations, so-called satellite police stations. There is a question, Madam Chair, that was asked by Ms. Van Wyk about the insult, the consultants. I just want to know who determines that and how much. The value, who determines that we have to appoint the consultant now, internally or externally? Who determines that? And can you put the value on that so that we understand exactly what we're talking about? On slide 26 on property development phases, I want to know the period between work study and need assessments. How long does it take? And in the same slide, site clearance and planning, how long does it take? Will a person who is older, like myself, apply for or know that the police station will be built, but will be built when he's dead and buried? How long does it take? I just want to know that. Can I, in the lighter note, in the slide below that one,
Is it Esakeni or Ezakeni? Ezakeni. That's correct, the spelling correctly. To make it correct. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the presenters. My question is on the slide that talks about budget and expenditure 2006-2007 and the station completed. Now you go to 2007-2008. There's only one station that is being completed. And the following pages. I don't know whether maybe because I didn't do arithmetic, that the amount that built seven stations is lesser than the amount that built one station. So I just want to check how big is that station and how small are this one. You go to the project to be completed. I also want to be clarified what this project to be completed, because if you check this list, it's scary. Starting from the pages are not numbered. Just to check when were this project started, because they are not completed. But also, how much are they? What is the problem not to complete so many stations? Are we playing games? Just to make a foundation, spend money, leave it for another year and another year. Up to so far, these are the two questions that I want to be clarified.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Let me take the opportunity to thank the presentation. General, I've seen your designs. Yes, they are very nice. Can take this to Mesa, I'll be happy. The start of December, you are showing. I've gone through the list. We have gone to Mpumalanga, Nelspruit, and we were in Mayfair. Going through your list, projects under construction, and those are completed. That police station that I believe is rented, not in the list here. I've gone through the list from today up to 2015, but from 2015 I'm not interested, because I'll be here if I'm still alive up until 2014. Parliament as a committee listed that area. We have tried to impress and persuade you that there is a need to build that house into these structures that you are showing. Nothing is mentioned here or listed about this. And I'm saying the role of a committee, parliament, is to persuade and probably redirect. You've been saying this, I know this is not the first time that you are mentioning this, but every time Deputy Commissioner Chela not there, you have promised that you'll be visiting that area. I doubt if you have done that up until now. I'm worried that when the committee, when Parliament faces these people, we create an impression and people become so happy. But nothing is shown. I just want to know, this particular station is isolated. For many, many years, we had all these phases done. Somebody keeps on postponing the building of that police station.
can you please turn around, intervene, so that particularly me, when I leave this parliament, that Mayfair police station is built. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on this rezoning. Can you explain what is rezoning? And the other one is about how do you determine an area that needs to have a police station? Do you look at the population, the crime rate, or what? Why I'm asking this question is, if you can remember, I once invited you to my constituency. We had a tour, me and you and your delegation. I just wanted to show you there how densely populated the area was. It's a thing, I'm sure you remember. And you somehow agreed with me that there is a need for a police station in that area. But to my surprise, after a long run, a police station was built somewhere else, not in Itsuseng, that's next to Hebron. We built a police station in Hebron, between Harankua and Mabopa. Like I said, I just want to know, how do you determine if an area has to have a police station? My other question is, how do you appoint consultants? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. National Commissioner in Pretoria, we asked the question to say, what is the amount allocated for the building of a new police station and for refurbishment, and provide a list of these stations. And we further requested the department to give us a list of police stations constructed since 1994. And we said you must provide cost for each police station. And you gave us the information here from 1994. For instance, Eastern Cape, you gave us patently built at the cost of 3.5 million up until the last police station, 2009-2010, Jane Fess and Matox, at 33.4 million. According to this list, it is only the two police stations, Jensef and Matok, that still appear on your planned police station for construction, according to your strike plan, which suggests to me that all others have been built and funded. Now, according to your answer, the amount allocated for new police stations in execution for 2009-2010 financial year, just for construction, is 497 million. For refurbishment is 239 million for that year. These are the two police stations. My question is, can you explain this amount of money vis-a-vis the two police stations you're talking about and allocated? What happened to this money? Where is this money? How was it spent for 2009-2010? That will be my question. I just want to know a cent for cent spent for these two police stations. That still appears on your list. But that will take me back to these other police stations, because it, unless I'm wrong to understand that these other police stations, 2008-2009, it means, because you're saying Debenek, for instance, it was worth 32.2 million. That is the amount you spent in the construction of this police station. And in your other response, you are saying the cost of constructing police stations or police stations differ, and the cost is dependent on the size of the police station, as well as how much housing is provided. The cost currently fluctuates between 50 million for an inspector station with two houses and two bachelor flats, smaller stations,
to 30 million for a superintendent station, much larger station, to 50 million for a senior superintendent station, to 70 million for a director station. So if Jane says is 29, I can actually go here and say, oh, probably this will be a superintendent station. That's what I will conclude. 2033, it would be something like that. But the budget is 400 and something, 200 and something. Can I get clarification on this one issue? That will be my first question. My second question is the question where I really think I need some explanation and some clarity, because I don't think I have enough information, but one will want to get more information. It's on the Eastern Cape project, which is worth billions of rands, which actually is taking the budget. We're supposed to be constructing police stations, and it's going to that, etc. or whatever related. Can we get information on this project and get to know as to how it is being funded? And information, I just want to get information on that one project. I think, in fact, I was about to request members not to go to the forensic science laboratory question, because I was thinking that we probably should just definitely have another session on every aspect of supply chain management as an entity and look into everything that is happening inside the department. But just these two questions.
No, Madam Chair, it's always unsafe to put yourself bare naked in front of people. See, when you suggested that you nearly dismissed us, I was so happy. I wanted to be dismissed. Madam Chair, Madam Chair, you see, the problem here, usually when you come here, we sit down and discuss. We did not get that. I received the document while I was in Durban, dealing with the display where you were invited and you did not end up. So we did not have time to sit down as a committee. We had about 45 minutes, Madam Chair, this morning before. There are many questions that we did not answer to ourselves. I just want to come forward and be honest about it. There are several questions that we did not answer to ourselves. I don't know how we'll answer them here. And we didn't answer to ourselves. There are quite several of questions that are raised here were raised on our short meeting there, and we did not answer those questions to ourselves. Now, if we give answers here, some portion of us will be saying, is that so? Some other people are asking, is that so? I don't know if any child can request to be dismissed and do his homework or her homework and come back and present. I don't know if that is allowed to happen. I'm saying some of us were asking the committee questions, but we did not get the answers. And I said to my team, today we're at breakfast. I said, today we're really breakfast for the committee. I'm hinging my hopes to say you'll call us again. I would expect that you are dismissed, but I request that you are dismissed. And so we work on the proper presentation that ourselves were satisfied. If then we are taken on that, we should have said to ourselves, we did our work. I don't have that moral justification as I'm sitting here that I would say we did our work, committee was correct. I just want to be honest about it and say, indeed, that is it when it comes to this presentation, Madam Chair.
No, Chair, I mean, obviously you have to respond to the request that's being made, but the difficulty I have, I hear what the National Commissioner is saying, but the difficulty I have then is, and the question I have to ask, are we then saying that the team here doesn't actually know what's going on? Because, yes, I understand that they, in a session, there may be some questions and answers, but surely this team that's here should be able to answer these questions. Because it's not something new. I imagine they've been dealing with this all along. So, I mean, you may not want to answer that now, but, I mean, the question then arises, and that's the question that comes to mind, is to say, are we saying this team here doesn't know what's going on? Because they're not have a problem.
Probably we will have to discuss the request. I will have a problem with the meeting that continues and the information, you know, you have the management that is sitting quiet but saying within itself you are lying. You know, but cannot say it before the portfolio committee because probably it doesn't want to contradict itself. But I think what the National Commissioner is saying, for me, says, I don't know whether the continuation of this meeting is going to assist it, but Honorable Joseph.
Chairperson, there are two points that has been raised. The first one is the general's question, which I think I could try to respond to. But there is a question now that you are raising again. Now, I will try to be in between those two points. The first point is that I will understand what the general is saying, but this is not individual thing. This is a collective thing. As far as I'm concerned, I agree with the general himself as a person who's just been appointed to acquaint himself. But most of the staff that is there should understand what is going on. That is my first point. My second point is try to back up what the oral member Greco is saying, that it will sound very bad, Madam Chair, that the management of the police put the document in front of us, although the general may not understand it, which is acceptable and understandable, but put the document in front of us, which they cannot stand by. To me, that will sound more bad than what the general is requesting, because I will understand the general. But I won't understand the document that is put in front of us by the senior people and say that they cannot respond to it and they cannot respond to themselves about it, because that sounds to me something else. Therefore, I'm really putting myself in an awkward position for you to judge as a chairperson. I understand the general, and I'm putting himself in a corner of saying, yes, general, we understand your point of view, but we don't understand the document in front of us. The document in front of us is a collective document, and it's for management to respond to it. Thank you very much.
Can I request the facts to just go and have tea outside, and we remain with the customers.
A few folks. Unfortunately, we have dismissed them before the process. Because I was actually not going to buy the cost of the general story that we had to go to the business in the US. When I came there, he was nominated before when I was here, so he made an opening remark. He was supposed to make us aware that he had just received those documents so that we know before we didn't start. So they were actually, we were part of them taking shelter from us. And therefore, I think that we just very serious, and I decided that not to be due to the commissioning to the government, because we made an opening remark and we are supposed to alert the committee. But we just put the document. We were taking shelter for the taking shelter from us.
Thank you. But the thing is, whatever we decide, we can't do it the other way without
We don't have really kept us from that. You are going to handle the matter. We will just require. You are going to handle the matter. We will just require because we give you that offending the matter. We're giving you all the force. Just handle the matter as you said in the chapter. And then we trust you, Jefferson. You know that. You represent us in this
point.
No, 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 we'll call it. Let's do the job. We have taken a discussion. That cannot be said by a discussion.
Means that you're spending on taxpayers' money for a fruitless meeting. And that should not happen. Secondly, managers at whatever level, but at national level, one of their responsibilities, generally required for that matter, is to account for what they are doing. Managers who cannot honestly account in other parts of the world would immediately be dismissed. But I think, National Commissioner, there is a need for consequences from yourself to these managers. If indeed they prepared a document which they can't account for, then they have to account. There must be consequences. They must be disciplined. It cannot be that at this level we will have people who are appearing before the portfolio committee on things that they are doing every day, but they are not able to account for. Truthfully so. Our understanding, National Commissioner, was that you are saying to the Portfolio Committee, you have asked questions which, as the National Commissioner asked, and there were no answers. And you were probably cautioning the committee to say, if there are answers to those questions, as the national commissioner and the accounting officer, I would be surprised because there were no answers at the time when I asked these managers to account to. Probably let us, we appreciate that because we think it's honest from your side. But even if we are appreciating it, we appreciate with some serious consensus. But it leaves us with some doubts. But also it raises serious issues in our minds. Are the issues that these managers cannot account for? What exactly is happening in the whole supply chain management system? Are there issues that we need to go deeper and find out maybe? Because if you ask me as to where I was this morning and what was I doing, I would easily respond to that. Because there's nothing to fear about. If you ask me about the money that we are given as the portfolio committee to run our work, I would simply account without any fear from the time I started to be the chairperson of the portfolio committee. What are these issues? We will, National Commissioner, attend this meeting. One and two, we definitely are going to invite the department back. We're not going to make any mistake that it will be during June or July because we want to focus and we want to come being ready. We're not going to allow you to take this document. It will remain with us because we believe that you gave us because you believe it is a proper, authentic document. It is in that spirit that if there is anything that is misleading here, even from the portfolio committee's point of view, we will have to ensure that consequences indeed do. I also want to extend our our disapproval of such things happening. National Commissioner, we having said that, we will still request that the department provide us in writing information on this Eastern Cape Billion Rand building project with detail around itself, the project itself, but its impact on other projects and why. We'll definitely need that information provided to the portfolio committee in writing and all the details finished. Because while National Commissioner, we have said there won't be any meeting after this one with the department, but it will be proper that we receive that information before the meeting. We are going to give you the due date for submission of that information to the chairperson of the portfolio committee after looking into our next session, a program, the next session. But I think I want to thank you, Mr. Commissioner, for making us all free. It wouldn't assist us to go ahead with the meeting and ask questions, and you sit there listening, and you are disagreeing within yourself, but allowing that to happen. I think that is, honest from your side. Even if it's honesty that we have a problem with, but at least it is honesty. Mr. Commissioner, these are managers. And they are paid for managing. They are paid for coming to Cape Town and account to the portfolio committee. they are paid for that. Paid for that. And if they can't do that, it means their payment is not due and justified. It's a criminal offense to mislead Parliament. It's a criminal offense. In fact, if we discover that as Parliament, we might have to take steps on our own without the department to actually say we were misled on this day. It cannot happen. But National Commissioner, you know, when you are told that, or actually observing that you'll have managers who, as we are dealing with these issues, they are so amused, they are laughing throughout the meeting, then it makes you feel a little bit nauseous. Because we're not playing here. We're talking billions of money that are taken from our salary. I'm a taxpayer myself. And anybody who will find these meetings to be a joke, like from the department, makes us feel insulted. And I hope we're not going to have people who come to meetings and when we discuss these issues, they are amused. Maybe because they know there is something wrong happening, or they know we are being misled, or they know that they are lying, or they think that we are fools. We're not. Surely we're not fools. These members of parliament, their experiences. If you ask one of them, they will tell you that probably wherever they come from, they were successful. They would never be chased away for not being able to account. So I'm really saying that. But National Commissioner, I think again, from my side, let me thank you for being honest with us, because I think you really had to be honest with us. It would not assist this portfolio committee, but yourself, to allow the department to continue to give us information that you yourself is not agreeing with, because you are the accounting officer in that department. Having said that, we will indeed inform the department on our future date. But before that, we'll give you the information, I mean the date for submitting information on this issue that I have raised. And then we'll give information for the future meeting. Let me, before allowing the department, because we have our second item as the portfolio committee to deal with, let me take this opportunity again, because I think this is indeed our last meeting before the FIFA World Cup. Let me take this opportunity to again wish you all the luck and the strength that you need in running this very important event. I wish Bafana was going to play in Mpumalanga, because you know, in Mpumalanga they win. Not just a goal or a draw, it will be four goals. One, two, three, and four goals. Without a goal on the other side. Which means you have a good goalkeeper, you have a good back line, but you also have midfielders, you have attackers there in front that are scoring goals in Mpumalanga. So I would lobby FIFA to consider making Bafana to play in Mpumalanga. We have the magic there. The unfortunate thing is that when we wanted to buy tickets, we were told there were no tickets. 48 hours, there were no tickets after that. And we really wanting to attend. I really wanted to be Nelson on that day. I didn't want to be in my house, but I was forced to be in the house because we could not get the ticket. But we do hope that Bafana will do us proud. That's my comment. I don't know whether you want to say something before I allow you to leave.
Thanks. They call them Bafana Nil. which means they've got four against nil, but four, nil, but four. Madam Chair, thanks for the... I don't want to really to sit here and be an angel to separate myself from my my team. We should have done that before we came to the committee. I'll take that full responsibility. The problem, the short time that we had in the morning told me that we were not ready to come to the committee. I have said to the committee outside, I don't know how I would feel to give the answers here that we did not get among ourselves. I felt it would not be the way of doing it. That's why I requested the tough one. Things you raise are things we know, but sometimes it's just okay to go up front and say to yourself and to the people, this is not it. Can you be given a chance to do it properly? We believe we need our semi-workshop to work on the matters here. When we are all eating for a breakfast here, if it will be a morning, we should all be part of some eggs and bacon and agree that, yes, it's correct to be the egg. I will always choose to be an egg rather than bacon, because at least bacon, somebody loses life, and egg, you can still survive if you are an egg. Madam Chair, we promise to work on it, and we come back here and we say, this is us, and then take us on what we agree upon. There are several questions that you guys raised here that we raised and not answered. Did I say you guys? Okay. You honorable members. I don't know what it would have done to me when that answer comes here, and when among ourselves did not come. So that's why we made the request. So we are also happy to say you are giving us enough time beyond this time, because I can assure you, honorable members, honorable chair, it's a really heavy period for us. It's about really this 2010. And while we say we have a very peaceful sleep, sometimes it's not very peaceful. I think one thing that puts fear always on me is Kabinda, because I was there. And it was just one incident that really dominated the world more than the matches themselves. So if such a thing happens, it will be... Let me be naughty. I still request the matter of hotel to resolve it, to be part of it. It's refusing to go. The matter of that hotel remains illegal. And yesterday we were talking to the Premier of Gauteng. They are refusing to grant hotel permission. So now it puts again the onus on the police to say we can't guard the area that is not supposed to be there. And the chairman insists that they will stay there. So it's one hanging thing. We have resolved the Eastern Cape one, the security of Eastern Cape, where we had a serious problem with the company that was providing the security. But we have resolved it. Police are taking over there. Fortunately, the one stadium that we had a problem with, so police are taking over. But the hotel one, it really remains a problem. But we'll come back, we'll be ready, and we'll give what we all agree upon when it comes to this issue. Thanks very much, Varane.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. Like I indicated last time, wherever you need the support and assistance of the portfolio committee, we are available. I understand the predicament that the issue of that hotel will put on the side. I wish they were able to even grant that hotel if
chairman is not prepared to change a temporary permit over the period only, and then it lapses after that, because it will then enable the police to provide security in that hotel. But thank you very much for appearing before the portfolio committee, and we will therefore allow you to leave because we have another item which we need to discuss as the portfolio committee. That it should be a closed meeting, of course, with all parties agreeing, except for the DA that said no. I think it is important for the portfolio committee to discuss this matter going forward, so that we can actually inform the minister as to what we think should happen. Let me say that it is the prerogative of the minister for now to release credit. And briefing the portfolio committee before the actual release was a way to say, I want to take you into my confidence and before everybody else, because they are the portfolio committee, before everybody else happened. The chances of having this meeting open are very slim, if of course it will be before he does that to everybody. In the past, the crime debt was released in Pretoria. Minister will announce and so on and that way. And we'll all see it on TV, we'll get the annual report, and it will be just that then we interact with the report. That's for the first time that the minister would want to brief the portfolio committee first before the actual announcement. But of course, members will know there was some... It was an issue that the meeting was closed, but how do you open that meeting before the actual announcement becomes a problem? So that is why we think that the committee must discuss this matter and agree on a strategy which we can communicate to the minister. The possibility is that we allow the minister to release crime statistics, we go to the venue where media people will be there, we see it, we listen, and that's it, and it is televised live. Or if we want to be briefed, I'm not sure as to why, how will we be briefed in an open meeting without crime statistics being released at 9 o'clock when in actual fact the minister wants to inform the nation in account and have media people and everybody at 12 o'clock. That's the issue, and therefore, I'm requesting the members to discuss this issue so that we can actually guide the minister. Then allow it to become something of a circus, which it has been for years and years. I mean, it's a whole production. That we don't have a portfolio meeting in a larger venue, but a portfolio meeting to which the minister is presenting the statistics to us, to which the media is invited. And stop with the whole theatrical business that it has become. I mean, it isn't just another report to this committee, as we have reports all the time. Somehow it's been taken apart. The piece of the annual report, no different or more important or anything else than any other piece of the annual report. It was made that by the previous regime. And I would just say, we virtually never see the minister here. In fact, I can't imagine he's been here, has he? Have we seen the ministerial meeting? We have, maybe once, I think, long, long ago. But I think if we have a normal portfolio meeting to which the media are invited, it's open. Then there's no secrecy, clandestine meeting. That's not going to get everybody clapped for doing that. It's just an open release of figures that are going to be in annual portfolio. I mean, it's just turning it into a media circus. It's just has not resulted in anything good for anybody ever.
Chairperson, may I differ with my colleague? When a person says, I want to take you into confidence, it is a normal thing. You're not hiding anything necessarily. I think, actually, I've been, I kind of felt disadvantaged on a number of occasions as a member of the portfolio committee to be informed by the media about something that I thought I should have known before. So I think it's a good idea for us to know what's happening within the department, within the SAPS, within about the candidates before everybody else knows. So that if we have questions, and let me say, if people see things in the paper, in the media, and they know that we are members of the committee, they ask us questions, that we should have the ability to respond. Because when you are with the minister and releases this information to you, and you have a question, you can ask him for clarity, which would help us to be able to answer questions when we are asked based on what people have seen in the media. Now, the finance committee, for example, before the minister does a budget, he has a meeting with a portfolio where an agreement is noteworthy. Actually, they are locked in the meeting so that the media will not know what the minister is going to say. Taking the portfolio committee in confidence is not doing something new in parliament, something that's not done. It's happening for all these years. Before the minister listens or speaks about the budget publicly, the portfolio committee on finance already knows what the minister is going to say. So I think it would be more empowering to us to hear about what is happening, what is coming, before members of the public know.
But I just wanted to say that it will be difficult for the portfolio committee to blame a portfolio committee meeting wherein it will say, Minister, you are not going to release crime debt before you brief us. You can't say that. So we can actually say, come and account and inform us on this crime debt. But he may have released it yesterday. And he will come and then say, because the crime stat is part of the report, the annual report, but he releases it, you know. But let me not.
Thank you, Jefferson. I tend to agree with the last speaker. I will tell you why, Jefferson. It's been quite a while in this parliament where we are confronted by the stats that is coming from the reporter, from the minister. It's quite a while. And when we are responding, to the reporters instead of responding to the minister or asking questions to the minister herself for clarity and so on. That's my first point. It gives us an advantage, therefore, as members, to understand exactly and prepare ourselves so that if there are any questions after the minister has already applied his mind to address the public, then if there are any questions that are raised, then you are in a very good position of understanding what is taking place. That's the first point that I wanted to raise. The second point that I wanted to raise is that it is the minister's prerogative to say, yes, I will address you on stakes, or I may not address you on stakes. You will just hear it from the public like any other person. Now, he has a right to do so. But what we are requesting as a committee is that we should be taken on board. By taking on board means, therefore, if it needs be, that we schedule our meeting in a manner that when the minister has spoken to us, we move from here to the public, as my previous speaker spoken, because we have seen it on the budget. They go there in the morning at 9 a.m. and they don't come up until 2 p.m. And at quarter to two, they are not even released. 5 to 2, they come there in a house full of Bibles and so on and so forth, because they are not released until the minister goes to the podium, and then they respond thereafter because of the briefings they have. It's a prerogative of the finance that they can do that. Therefore, that prerogative, if it applies to us, why don't we use the same prerogative? If that is the case, if we see that there is somebody there, there is no law that we are breaking by doing so. There is no law that the minister is breaking by not coming to us. He's not breaking any law. But he's equipping us, or he's making us to be aware of what is happening, so that when we are faced with so many questions that are coming outside, we are able to respond. I find it to be more genius for the minister to say, I want to brief you first before I tell the public. Because by doing so, he's equipping ourselves so that we are able to say yes or no. But please put it this way. Don't put it this way, because we don't understand it. If you put it this way, it will be interpreted this way, and so on and so forth. Those are the things that I think, Chairperson, I'm trying to say. Therefore, I would really request that we see light on this matter, because if we are divided on this matter, we are going back to square one, where we are going to listen with everybody else, and you won't have any privilege of knowing exactly in advance. Thank you, Shepherd.
Chairperson, yes. I mean, from the ANC side, it's neither here nor there what we do. I mean, we can call the minister to our study group. He's a member of our study group as well. So the opposition should basically decide what they want. But I think what is very, very important, Chairperson, is that last year, and members have been in this committee for many years will know, was the first time that the minister showed the committee the respect that it should have. By taking the committee aside and saying, listen guys, in an hour's time, I'm releasing these crime statistics to the media and to the nation. But before I do that, I believe you should know what the situation is. Unfortunately, what was intended to be a good outreach from his side to us resulted in month after month after month of negative reporting about so-called secret meetings. While his presentation to us was the same presentation that he gave to the media, it was just respecting us as members of parliament, as the portfolio committee who are working with these figures, who should have a better understanding of it. And I agree with what the previous two speakers said. This committee can't tell the minister how to release his statistics or not to release his statistics. I think if I hear what you're asking us is, if we are saying that, yes, we would like to be taken in confidence before the time, that we agree to it now so that there is no outcry at the time when it gets done. And that is basically what I hear you asking. And then it's still up to the minister whether he actually wants to do it or not, whether he wants to take us into confidence or not.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd like to start by firstly saying that, I mean, I've only been a member of this committee since last year. But in the years preceding that, in the third and certainly the second parliament, I often ask myself the question, why was parliament not being taken into confidence? Why was parliament not being briefed? And I thought given the opportunity of being able to hear first of the situation, of what's going to be released. We were able to just ask questions of clarity. I felt that Parliament was being given the opportunity of hearing firsthand. And I also felt it was an opportunity for us to, as members, to equip ourselves and to fully understand. So I personally, I welcomed that last year. And I think we had that meeting last year where we all discussed and it was then agreed that, no, we'll go for a closed meeting, not because somebody wants to hide anything. And in fact, you know, Honourable Meshwe referred to the budget, the lock-up session. You know, I was part of those lock-up sessions for many years. And it was not because anybody wanted to hide anything. It was because it was enabling members of Parliament, particularly your party spokespersons of finance and others in the finance-related committees, an opportunity to study the budget, to read it. And in fact, in case we don't know or remember or realize, the press are also locked up in that session, but in a separate room. And they also have the same documents. They read them. They are not allowed to release anything until the minister makes his budget speech in the National Assembly. But the reason for that also is to enable the press to actually grasp and to go through those documents. Now, so there's nothing secret. It's different as if you're in the Standing Committee on State Security. That's a different aspect because all those meetings are closed. That information is not allowed to come out into public domain. That's something different. And looking at last year's experience, in fact, the presentation we got was the same presentation that was presented in the GCIS press room. But what it did do, it gave MPs an opportunity to ask questions. If the opposition parties say, no, it's fine, we'll go and sit in the press conference, well, they're not going to get the opportunity to ask questions because that press conference there is for the media to ask questions, not for us. For the media. And then it's fine, we can go and sit there and listen. Or if the minister so wishes, he can release it from his office in Pretoria. And then people can get little bits and pieces in the newspaper, because we don't get the annual report the same day, by the way. It takes a while before we get it. And then everybody's now making their own assumptions. So I think just touching on some of the things that the Honourable von Baker said, but I think we need to say, I mean, if the opposition don't want this, it's fine. I personally, I don't mind. I really don't mind if we go and sit in the press conference. Let me rephrase it, but I'm just saying that if there are some members of the opposition who don't want, then perhaps what we need to say is, okay, that's fine. We will go and sit in the press conference, or we'll pick it up in the Cape Argus in the afternoon. But I think I just need to say that it's not because anybody's got anything to hide. Not at all. And if individuals in this portfolio committee don't want an opportunity to be asked to ask questions, so be it. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, I think we can just clarify a couple of things. Number one, the reason that the Finance Committee is locked up is to ensure that delicate financial information is not leaked. The people don't have a chance to get involved with insider trading. It is a protection of the economy. It cannot and it could never be leaked prior to the budget being presented by the minister. It's very obvious to anyone why it is done. It has no relation whatsoever to this committee, nor should it ever. I warned at the time last year when there was a suggestion that we have a closed meeting that such is the anathema of the media towards secret meetings and secret briefings that it would reflect negatively on us. And it did. I mean, it was coming from every angle. And there was a perception created. And don't tell me the SAPs haven't learned what perceptions are. Why do you think they're doing their little performances at every airport and everything around the country to show and say, look how wonderful we are, we've got it all under control, we can do this. They're showing the media a side of themselves that they previously hadn't seen. The media will misread a closed meeting. They will believe we are told things that they're not allowed to know and that are kept secret. And that's not the way this country works anymore. It just really isn't. Now, my suggestion, and I would like people to just take a step back and think. We have reports presented to us every single week. They come, they present a report, we interrogate it, and they go. Now, I do not understand why it is that we cannot have the report presented to us in an open meeting for us to interrogate like we do every other report that's ever made. You know, turning this into Hollywood every year is not doing the SAPs any good. It's not doing the system any good. It is the same as any other report that comes here before us, as it has always done. And it has to be in a bigger room so that there are more media, they can sit and listen. Afterwards, the minister can then address the media and answer whatever questions they have. We are still involved. We can still interrogate the report. And there is no secrecy. And that is what caused the problem last time. And I'm telling you now, if it happens again, as very flattered as some people are, that the minister has actually come to the committee, which he hasn't done for a year, I wasn't referring to you, Annalise. And then it's an open and transparent process. That's what caused the problem last time.
The principle, I was also a member of the Joint Budget Committee. The principle is that everybody is going to get the document, but at a particular time. But before that happens, relevant committees will get the information. So you will get the report, you'll get everything. I would sit there from 9 o'clock. You either excuse yourself because you have other commitments, so you won't go be part of the lock-up session, or you will be late. The principle was the same. The point definitely, as a matter of fact, on this one, I think one will have to be guided by the members, particularly the members of the opposition, to be honest. It would be difficult for the portfolio committee to plan a portfolio committee meeting, because first we must say, Minister, when do you think you will be ready? And he says, I will be ready on such and such a day. But he releases the crime statistics yesterday, because they will be in Pretoria in cabinet meeting or whatever, and so on and so forth. The point I'm making is that it is the prerogative of the minister. It will be very difficult for the portfolio committee to force the minister to do his work the way the portfolio committee wants. It's his work. This is his responsibility as the minister. Without the portfolio committee dictating to the minister. You know, one time we wanted to invite some people to the meeting and invite the minister to come to the meeting. And I learned that we can't arrange people as portfolio committee and invite the minister to come and talk to those people. We can't arrange meetings for the people, for the minister. He must meet with people. He does that as a minister, but we can't arrange people to meet the minister because he has his way of doing things. Now, it will be very difficult for the portfolio committee to say to the minister, this is how you're going to release crime statistics, because that is his responsibility. It's his prerogative as the minister, not accountable to parliament. Ours is to get the annual report and then say, on this day, we'll be interrogating annual report, which inside there is crime debt. That we definitely have to do, and the department will have to come. If we want the minister to come together with the department on that day, we can actually say, come with the department on that day. We can always do that. But releasing crime debt, and we say, you are going to do it this way and not this way, is a problem. And As a matter of fact, members are correct to say, even this which we are discussing, the minister can say, yes, I understand, but I was disappointed last year, and therefore I'm going to release crime statistics in this way. Because really, the mere fact that all of us can agree, there was never any embargoed information from that minister, none at all. For me, if I remember well, in the media briefing, minister gave more detailed information than the information he gave us. He was more detailed. So he explained things more explicitly and more in more detail than with the portfolio committee. Any of the questions, we clarified that it was going to be clarity-seeking questions. We're not interrogating the report because it was not yet time to do that. We couldn't do it in the meeting. But to say, if you are saying 49 or 40% business robbery, what does it mean? Then you will take it from the side. I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that to say there are things which we can do, but there are things which we can't do as a portfolio committee. Honorable Lichet.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what the minister is doing is infinitely beautiful gesture to meet with us in Britain. Everybody has an opportunity. There is no secret about it because it's present. A wider committee, which is constituted by other representatives. And I think this is a deepening of democracy and respect that the minister is showing to the portfolio. As the ANC, I think we will continue with respect and deepening this principle of democracy. Thanks.
Chairperson, let me emphasize the fact that we believe in transparency. We do not agree with hiding things. And when we are given an opportunity to be informed, before a matter is taken into the public, I do not see that as hiding anything. Here is the difficulty with some of us. If you miss the press media briefing when the minister releases the crime stats, then you have a journalist call you and say, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about this fact? Because you missed the media briefing, you don't have information. You're not sure what to say. But if you had the prior briefing, then whenever they call you, you are able to answer intelligently. Now, Honorable Annelise said something interesting that I want to let you on. That the fact that it is the prerogative of the minister to have the committee in his confidence, he can easily do that with the ANC study group. Now, if he chooses to do that because the committee does not want to have a private meeting with the minister to be given the information, then we would be disadvantaged because you get the information that we are not getting. And because floor crossing has been... Because floor crossing has been abolished, people will not read into anything. If we say to the media, to the ANC, that when you are getting that privileged information, we are interested, you know. I'm sure members that then go over here also would agree that he would prefer to have the information prior before he goes to the public. So if the committee does not accept it, but the ANC study group, get that privilege, we want to have the privilege also of hearing, so invite us to be able to hear what the minister says.
No. Flow crossing or no flow crossing? Chairperson, not just that before. If we are going to go to say who is for yeah, who is for nay, let's do that. Because, let us
use our privileges in a proper manner. I went outside just to speak to Mlolengi George about it, because he's been my chairperson for quite a while of this committee. And we've been complaining about these things before. That why is the minister sitting in Pretoria, and then we are phoned everywhere to respond when we don't even know what he said? That's our problem. I was trying to get him. I left a message to phone you and tell you exactly what is the position. Because, you see, Chairperson, there is one thing that I want to underline. It's a privilege. It's not a right. It's a privilege. Therefore, if we misuse the privilege, we won't have a right to know. That will be my problem. That's it.
I just want to make one point, and this is this attack on the minister not being here. If we want to call the minister to the committee for any good reason, let's do so. But let's not make this wild, all-sweeping statement that the minister hasn't been here for a year. We haven't called the minister on anything. If this committee has a need to call the minister on something specific, we can call him. If after our interrogation with the buildings section of the supply chain management, we feel that the minister needs to know about this and want to inform him, let us call him. But let us not play for the media. The fact of the matter is this committee has not called the minister before it since the last time that he was here. Every time that we've called him, as far as I know, he was here to attend to what we've been asking. Secondly, I also think it would be disingenuous to say that there was an outcry from the media. There were very much people playing along with this outcry. And I think we shouldn't not acknowledge that as well. I'm talking about when we had the closed meeting. There were parties playing along with that outcry and jumped onto that bandwagon of the secret meeting. And we mustn't now say that it's the media alone. It was managed by parties as well.
Thanks, Jeff. It's just a suggestion I wanted to make, and that is that, I mean, as we said, just we've been saying all along, and you've made it said as well. I mean, if we're not in majority, not in agreement, then it's fine. We go for stats get released whoever the minister wants to release them. I wanted to make a suggestion that perhaps we should ask the opposition parties to talk amongst each other. There are some opposition parties not here that would suddenly appear at the briefing. So I don't know if they want to talk to the others that are not here. Maybe ask the Honourable Ndlovu, the most senior member here, not just in terms of age, but he is a senior member here, and perhaps we should ask him that to maybe try and convene a meeting of the various opposition parties to get some consensus. Because I think that's what it's all about. I don't think we as the ANC are part and parcel of anything. I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm not jumping on Greg on this one. You see, Chairperson, we have our own positions in these matters. There are matters of principles, there are matters of policy. I'm saying that because I know the principle and the policy. If the policy of the DA and the principle of the DA is not to have the minister in a closed meeting briefing us, it won't work. Therefore, I'm not that person who always think about people's minds. I've heard about this story before, and I'm hearing again today. Therefore, I know about it. Therefore, I don't want even to entertain what Greg is saying, because that, to me, it's a principle of the DA and it's a policy of the DA. Therefore, you cannot, therefore, put ACDP, Coke, up in Lovo and others in the same boat. We have the same different policies and different policies, but we are trying to channel our policies into a manner or in a state where we are saying, are we one in this matter or not? That's the only thing. That is why I'm saying I'm not jumping on him, but I'm trying to explain myself why I'm trying to run away from it.
Indeed, I was going to protect you on the ground, Honorable Professor. Members, we've deliberated on this matter. Let me again mention the fact that the manner in which we took the decision last time to have a meeting closed was such that political parties had to air their views to say this is what we think. Present was Freedom Front, represented by Hunevald, who supported the closed meeting and appreciated the fact that the minister was taking us into confidence. Mr. Mluleki George suggested that the meeting be closed and appreciated the fact that we're taking on board a senior member in Reverend Mishwe, ACDP, ISP, and of course the A and the ENC. So it was six parties present, and of course five of them were of the view that we'd be taken on board. Since it is May, and we're expecting crime scares to be released in September, let me conclude by saying, let's finalize this matter in our next where probably we might have other parties present so that they hear their views. And probably to request parties to engage on this matter so that when they come back, we know exactly what to do. But really, I think all of us sitting here honestly so know that there is nothing to hide that is discussed in those meetings. We all know. It's just a matter of saying, I'm now going out, but I want to go with you knowing what I'm going to do there. Then sit down there and listen. If indeed what I said to you is what I'm saying there. And that's it. But also the fact that because media will be asking questions, you will not be asking questions as members of parliament, but you've had an opportunity to ask me questions as honorable members of parliament. Because really, sometimes I think we are honorable members. Serious people. We are serious people. Just that we come from communities in other places. You know, when I was in O.R. Tambo welcoming people that were coming, we were attending an interparliamentary union conference here. You know, you would not just treat them anyhow. They are really honorable people. So that's that. Let me therefore say, I'm requesting members please to go and engage on this matter. When we come back, we'll be hoping that as parties will be present, we'll finalize on the matter. That is in our next meeting. So we have had this deliberation. It will be a matter of saying this is what we think, and then we take a decision on it. But I'm requesting that we be looking to this matter objectively. So it will be us who will make it an issue, then even the media for that. It will be this portfolio committee that will make this either an issue of principle, where the media will get used to the fact that this is how we're doing it, because it will also be a problem for us to do things this way because the media want us to do them this way. Sometimes we have to do things our way, not dictated to by anybody, but because we think it is correct for us to do it that way. Thank you very, very, very much. Tomorrow, members, we have an unannounced visit. Yes, we will be leaving Bordeaux at 9 o'clock. To a particular police station. We have received apologies from the two members. It's unfortunate that they won't be there because we always are happy to have everybody on board, but of course we will still be leaving at 9 o'clock. Today again there are these public hearings. You know that big team that went to visit police station, yes, had a briefing from the department. And if it seems like the chairperson will be chairing that session, and I will request members to speak on the report that we got from the department. Today and tomorrow. No, the information is sent out to members last week and packaged this week. So there are this hearing today. All the assembly chamber. It started in the morning and it's continuing today until tomorrow midday. And like I'm saying, we will be briefing them on what the department briefed us. Because I think maybe also we have to agree that there are so many portfolio committees that are inviting the staff to appear before them. Tourism, finance, justice, and so on. And it's like the police do not have a portfolio committee. They have accounted before us. We've heard what they said. And we have issues that we think we need to check because they said on the 25th they will be ready to take over all the venues. Some were still under construction. It may be in our interest just to check. But they said all those will be ready by that date. So I think we just have to brief everybody about it. So it's continuing now. We said we can't cancel this meeting because it would have been very wrong of us to do that. Thank you very much, members, and thank you for attending the meeting. We will be informing members of the small team that will prepare for this meeting. The next meeting, we are going to sit down and plan on that one and come up with a date and give them some work. And whenever time information comes, particularly the information I ask them to provide to the portfolio committee, we'll make it available so that we get more. We are appropriate. Thank you very much.